Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Four-Sided Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Four-Sided Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
That's why I say only three times on the second date.
I didn't
really.
Three.
Oh, the right.
One is a miracle.
That's why they made a rule about it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm already calling this. Y'all gotta
I need more. I need more context.
There was so much more to that faux conversation.
Exactly.
We could have kept bullshitting that.
Jurassic Park. Amber.
All right, and you got yours. I guess I'll take whatever's left over.
You ready?
Right. That's what I'm used to.
What are we going to? Just doing it.
I'm going.
Pray for low numbers.
Yes.
Oh God.
Oh, we gotta have
rolling. It was almost rolling.
I was almost
ready.
You know, no,
let's find out. Let's find out. We can't let it happen.
Let's see who almost took the bullet.
Don't feel defeat. Oh, that's what's wrong.
That means you have to do it now.
I'm pretty no, sure it's
you.
Okay.
You got dry mouth now.
I had a feeling it was gonna happen.
Oh.
Hey, everybody. Here we are together. And, well, shit. It's another Four-Sided Dive. The only show on the internet written by the world's most powerful sentient AI. This flesh form in front of you will be your third keeper of the tavern. I have bones in me, I guess. Travis Willingham's whittling woodwhacker went to whittle too wild as a werewolf during the heist. Womp womp. And other surprising events. Matt Mercer, myself, was getting settled into his break from GMing, but we tricked him into coming back to work so we could grill him on the important Campaign 3 questions. Sorry, me. The pizza party was a ruse, and I'm stuck here now. Now, tell us who Estrosh's secret crushes. In other news, we found out Ashton's brain is filled with time goop, but is Talison Jaffe going to share any of that pretty yum-yum goop with the rest of the class? And is Liam O'Brien, and Liam O'Brien returns to the Tavern of Tales, but just for the slaps. Don't stray too far, because later on, we'll be playing Exploding Kittens, and whoever gets exploded will be asking our leftover tankard questions. I have so much excitement inside my human heart, which functions like this. Well, you know, there's like a bloodstream that goes through, and when it connects to like an aortic valve, or through an aorta in their valves that keep it pumping as different, you know, why is it so dark in here? I'm losing my vision. I'm gonna pass out. Welcome to Four-Sided Dive. Let's, end script. Welcome back! It's time for our first segment, our freeform rectangular table discussion. What the fuck is up with that? Let's see what's on the menu for tonight, because we have a menu now. All right, we got topics, motherfuckers. First up, skyship shenanigans.
Yeah!
We're in a skyship now!
There is a new skyship! Sorry, I'm real excited.
Good, then you start. Okay. Skyship!
Oh, we had a new skyship! I actually thought that we were going to get the old model from campaign one.
Oh, the paper layout? I still have
yeah.
it.
Yeah, like yeah. brought back out. And then that thing with the gorgeous gills came on out.
With the dinosaur frills.
the dinosaur, dinosaur fields, and the crystal battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which glowed.
It glowed.
That I was very happy though. But I've had that commissioned a while back. So it's like at some point in this campaign, pretty early in, you know, we did, you know, naval combat, you know, naval maneuvering last campaign. We only had a touch of skyship in the last one. Estras, if they keep going with this patronage, there's likely a good chance that, you know, there might be a skyship in the future. Went ahead and started getting the commission going.
How long did that take?
It took them maybe about better part of like 3 months. Casually, like he wasn't like.
Dude, it's so good.
I want to stay on it.
There's
I really
like
do.
There's like planks of wood. If you get up close, remember there's like grain.
Individual
planks of wood. Yeah,
beautiful like planks of
the
wood.
Deck.
It's the best part of every old JRPG. Get your skyship.
Let's get your skyship. Honestly,
uncover the map.
Yeah. Woo! If you're an adventuring party that's just driving to like a skyport and you keep getting thwarted, you're like, DM, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get on that skyship.
It's technically not yours. It's Eshteros.
Not yet. We could
just take
it
pirates. Be pirates. We all keep trying to be pirates.
That worked so well for us last game.
Yeah, let's become the cruel but swarthy.
Famous Teddy Ruxpin's in the side.
Teddy Ruxpin got a skyship. We get one.
Think about it.
Teddy
he did.
Try not to reveal the big bad of campaign.
If you don't know what Teddy Ruxpin is, please look it up and marvel at its horror.
And get one
horrifying.
And put batteries in it and leave it in the corner of the room and the lights are low.
And wait for those batteries to slowly die.
Yep. And then one night. Oh, nightmare fuel.
Oh, I'm gonna start like coring out some Teddy Ruxpins and start making minis out of them. You could fight through the campaign.
I assume Sam had a bedroom made out of Teddy Ruxpins.
Oh, yes.
I assume.
I'm surprised he didn't voice him as a kid.
Hanging from hooks.
He also probably had like a circular like chute out of his room down to the front yard.
Right.
And probably like a fireman's pole.
Sure.
And a train. And a train that like went out to the living room.
A rideable train?
Yeah, somewhere between Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Silver Spoons.
Like, I can see, with a hint of Pee-wee's Play.
We all, like,
hint of Pee-wee's
it's like, when we all watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for the first time, and he first opens the doors, everyone's like, oh, and Sam's kid's like, cute.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that tracks. Yep, watching Silver Spoons as a kid, he's like, I guess that train's big. You know what's weird?
It shows the data.
Is that, I was addicted to that show.
It's a good show.
Vax enjoyed the airship rides we took, but it wasn't like the end all and be all. Scanlan couldn't wait. Percy couldn't wait. And Vax was like, yeah, it's cool. I have no idea why. Orym is in love with airship. He is so excited to be up high. And I don't know why that is. I didn't decide it. It just happened.
I noticed that you just said Orym is in love with airship. Not the airship, but in love with airship.
Airship,
the concept.
Like, Jefferson Airplane.
You love lamp.
Speaking of airship, your shirt, which is super cool,
yes,
connected to your favorite movie. I can't help but I can't unsee the three jets at the top really look like a propeller beanie on the top.
A little bit.
Oh, no. No, don't do that. Did you just ruin my new favorite shirt? No. Jet propeller on the head?
Oh, we know what to get you for your birthday now.
Somebody's going to the danger zone.
God damn it, no.
Each blade is still shaped like a jet, but
it's got a little graphic. It's got a little jet graphic on it.
There's somebody at Etsy.
My favorite movie. It's all of our favorite movies. Top Gun
is it, though?
I mean, it's very...
For different reasons, I'm sure, yes. Bow, bow,
bow, bow, lots of us force each other to watch our favorite movies for our birthdays. Yeah. That was Travis's...
We can't continue this because you don't have the rights?
No, that's
No.
I wore that VHS out, that and Teen Wolf. Yeah, Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf. Lost Boys is still above. We keep coming back to this movie as above Top Gun for me. But I only saw Top Gun recently. I haven't watched it 172 times.
How is it that you came to see the greatest movie ever made, Top Gun?
One of my bestest friends forced me to watch it, Clockwork Orange style.
It's birthday movies. We have rules about birthday movies. You got to watch the birthday movie. No matter how heavy it is.
So much 80s rock and roll.
Oh, man. They keep playing volleyball. It just never ends.
Yeah. On a parking lot covered in sand.
It's a, you know, there's so many great romances in that film that don't quite come to pass. I'm hoping Maverick can really kind of change the pace.
I'm really excited. I'm genuinely excited for Maverick.
So, back to skyships.
I mean, speaking of the danger
zone. It's related.
Yeah.
Indeed. It is.
I'd never want to leave.
Well, what to you guys is the most exciting thing about skyships? I guess I should ask.
We have four ballistas, first of all, on the skyship versus, I think we only had like two?
There's three in this one.
Actually. Yeah, but yeah. In the first, oh, one this in the back and then two on the side.
Yeah.
That's right. Aurum fell off, that's what it was.
Yeah. Technically, you were a fourth ballista for a short time.
I hope to again fall off. Yeah, I mean, it's just endless, expansive beauty in every direction, and you can, again, see the whole world map, all the clouds part, and you can see for miles. And I love the danger of someone falling off. You might remember that when Aurum got knocked off, and people were like, what if I can? I'm like, nah, let it happen.
Yeah. Just come save me. Because it was just a titty bit close. We were just low enough to be like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I had half a plan. I only had half a plan.
I had zero.
I was like, I can teleport out there. And like, that wouldn't have helped. I'm like, I got you.
People.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So. Thank God we had the witches on that ship, though, because like everything with the worm and all that happening, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'll just watch. I can't reach down there. I can't go down there.
Yeah. It's nice having a skyship at airship at lower levels. Because we don't have, like, teleport. We can't, like, poof, somewhere else. This is our quickest means of getting out of here, but it left us, right?
It will come
back. For a day. Because you guys are in very very different territory than previously.
It's only 24 hours?
Yeah, we got shuttled in.
Oh, we got to hurry.
They're having their own adventure where they're going to level up. It'll be great.
Oh. Yeah, they're actually tackling the main story.
Yeah.
You guys are just kind of chilling.
Oh, good. They saw how very we were doing, actually. And they were like, we'll take
it. Yeah, you know what? We got this. Captain Zandis is like, these are not the heroes. It's fun. I'm excited to see where things go from here. I'm excited for whenever you guys go to wherever your next destination is to, well, as long as you have the skyship at your disposal.
Ship-to-ship combat. I'm just putting that out there. I'm ready for like a boarding. I ruined the last time it almost happened. I ruined it.
You did.
So I want
to. Airship to airship combat.
Yeah, we need to, you know.
And you could like jump ships and board and. Be on different levels and then like fall down to the other one.
Right, you swing the hook and you hook the two ships together and then you know.
You can totally DM that, right? Two giant ships on a table.
With a 500 foot.
I could.
Height differential.
Oh God.
That's another thing is.
You have to make enemies with people that have skyships now.
Done.
Through the whole game, like, do you have a skyship? Nah.
Hey, bitch, do you have an airship?
Yeah.
No.
We're just like specifically sure.
You just
beat people and tell them your name.
Maybe we can find Darolo. He's probably got one by now.
Uh-huh.
Plus,
oh yeah,
how high can it go? Can we reach the moon?
Well, we asked. Oxygen's a thing.
Yeah,
oxygen at a certain point, but also just the skyships travel quickly.
Yes,
and that's mostly what they're really useful for. They can travel very quickly over other forms of transportation for shipping, for personal travel. But at a certain height, winds become an issue. They aren't like anchored in the air.
I got gust.
Sure. You're right. You know what? Test that theory. Let's do that.
It's like the cartoon with the penguin in the tub.
I'm here for it.
So you say there's a chance.
Next section of this fantastic menu is...
Are there any sliders on there? Like chicken wings?
Yeah, can we get some sampler
spicy,
platter?
Spicy with their
everything.
Their tofu, though.
Oh, sampler.
Which sampler platter. Honestly, I like tofu.
That's what we have. Good.
New city, new friends. Mm-hmm. So I guess asking here, which is kind of fun that I get to ask you guys this that I'm as the host, what were your lasting impressions of Drusar?
They haven't seen the good shit yet.
Sorry.
Eventually I'll sit down and actually talk about shit I know. I just didn't want to talk about it while we were walking.
Well, there's the big unknown, because like we chased away the Nightmare King and then crazy spider sack woman craziness.
Yep, Shade Mother.
But that's totally unresolved. Like they just absconded and we ran and that's just still under there.
Yeah, well, it's unresolved in the sense that you did turn in Lady Emoth.
Yeah,
they are following up on that, and they are aware of the Shade Mother's nest below, so they'll probably take care of it themselves.
Probably take. That sounds like
they have real heroes when like real player characters going in there and taking care of it.
They get real people that come.
It's all the kids of Vox Machina are in there right now. It's Vox Machina babies.
They're level 9.
Yeah,
they're cleaning up.
Like the spinning orb of death, and we were like, we're like, there goes Keyleth's arm. We're gonna throw a chair at it. It's fine. Some holy people will take care of it. We'll leave, and everything will just be cool.
I mean, right.
Oh, I look at it like the happy fun ball. Like I want to know more about the inner caverns and tunnels that are in there, and what more could be in there, and if we could make Matt invent it on the fly by rushing in.
And not dying.
You can.
Just like the fun ball, like I could have spent another five games in the
easily,
fun ball.
Easily just all around.
Yeah. And I think we only saw like the sections that had been mapped.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of the fun ball.
We got 10% of it.
About 20% of it.
20% of it.
Yeah, there's
damn!
But potentially endless.
Damn. We'll release that as a video game.
If we never wanted to if we never wanted to go back to the world, we could have stayed in there, right?
Hell, maybe one day we'll release like a supplement or something that'll happen in there. I don't know. With all of our copious amounts of free time.
And time works crazy in the Happy Fun Ball, right?
It
right,
does.
Danny?
Danny.
Double thumbs.
Oh, fine.
Danny.
Danny, does time work funny in the...
Yes, Travis. Time does work funny in the Happy Fun Ball. In fact, you can only do the time dilation. Time goes slower in the Happy Fun Ball than it does on the outside.
But if you never go back, does it matter?
Thanks, Danny.
You're welcome.
See?
It is slower, right? Slower? Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. I'm really good at my job.
Danny, know everything. Know everything, Danny.
Another thing I like about Drisar, it's different for sure, but it reminds Aurum of home in that you've got all these amazing structures and society built up, but there's so much nature woven in and around it, which is totally different from Iman, which is just, you know, the King's English.
Yeah. That's true.
It does pull kind of a more advanced version of Zephra in some ways.
Sure, you know, sure.
All built upon the peaks of a kind of a cracked, you know, mountain set ravine and everything.
So much good stuff they don't know about yet. I'm so excited.
I know.
It's so much good stuff.
We'll see if we ever get around to
Marisha
it.
We will. I'm going to force them.
Marisha had a good page in her notes. It was near the front where she had the names of the spires and like the relative location to each other. And I am still wholly without that document myself.
Mm. I'm gonna make a note of myself.
So I don't know where shit is.
A map. I'm gonna email myself right now. Get Travis a map.
I know. I would
Can
call.
I also have that map?
Yeah, sure.
Send it to everybody.
I'm sorry. Oh, you're right. I'll get it around. I apologize. That is on me.
Knowledge is power.
Just make it like a big snowflake on the page, and you'd be like, "Spire by fire," and this place here. This
oh,
place
that's
here.
A good idea. Marsha's got like color coded pins and shit. It's fucking bonkers.
But could you do it like kids do, like the Thanksgiving pictures where they trace their
hands? Yeah, just use your hand for the turkey. Like,
hey!
The turkey.
That's it.
That'd be great.
I could do that.
The middle finger's the course fire.
Course fire.
We get a chart.
It does
kind of
look kind of like that.
Yeah, a little there.
There's your map.
Oh no, it's going to happen now.
We got it for you, buddy. It's all you need.
Yeah.
I did it.
Just a mold of Matt's hand.
It's the shocker.
Of course, Mark.
Yeah. It's going to be like a cat's cradle thing. It actually has the actual wires connecting them to.
We're professionals.
There we go. That's Drisar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You guys excited about Bessarus?
Well, you're fucking from there.
That's why that's the crazy shit. Yeah.
He knows some of the fun stuff there.
Yeah, there's some crazy shit. It's interesting because Ashton hates this place, but at the same time, it's like going to like your hometown with your friends. You're like, this place sucks. I'm going to show you this amazing bar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like, this place is just shit. They serve reindeer meat here. Come on. Yeah, you're just...
reindeer meat.
I've been thinking about Alaska a little bit lately. It's been a while since.
Yeah.
Like they put reindeer on pizza, and I'm like, that's cool.
That is cool.
I had reindeer in Sweden a while back. Mm. It was like,
that's
really good.
That was a while back now.
Yeah. Back when travel happened.
It's different than deer.
I loved Anchorage. Anchorage was lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. It's rugged as books.
I went to an anime con in Anchorage.
I went to the same one.
It was like, Aurora. They were like, do you want to go? And I was like, can I see a moose? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm going.
Yeah. Do you have wolves? Sure we do.
I want to see a
glacier.
Moose.
Yeah.
That's when perfect. I went there as a teenager, I went out on a boat and was looking at like, you know, ice and I saw a bald eagle land on a jutting chunk of ice in the water and American flags just like exploded out my ears. Oh,
yeah, you have to build a city there when that happens.
Like, that's the point.
Well,
rugged beauty.
Never been. My cousin Ashley, I think, still lives there. She's always been like, if you want to come visit? I'm like, one day. And so one day I'll get out.
It's cold.
Yeah. We used to go out there and do like crazy fishing for weeks at a time.
I did. Yeah. Well, okay. So some of the guys at Sucker Punch in Seattle go on this like salmon fishing trip and they're like, we need a third. Our guy dropped out. Can you come? And I was like, I like fishing. I'll go. Flew to Seattle to Ketchikan, Alaska. And then you hop on a water plane And a water plane is just a coin toss that it lands correctly in the water. Like, we're going down. I was like, this is it, fellas! It's dramatic. And they were like, shut him up! We land in the water and it skips. I was like, oh God, we made it, amazing. And it was like, you pull up to a dock in the middle of fucking nowhere and you get on a boat at like 4:45 a.m. And as you're pulling out into the ocean, there's like whales cresting and otters holding hands because they're still asleep and fucking bald eagles and shit. And you're like, this is worth it alone. But it's also in the middle of nowhere, so there's no like crazy fishing or anything like that. So you just drop a lure in the water, and if it makes it to the end of the line, like it fully extends, that's pretty rare. They're just like fish everywhere. So it was nice.
Whoa, that's wild.
Yeah.
Just like in Bass.
I know. We went off, but it was worth it.
Sorry. Go fishing in Alaska if you ever get the chance.
It was utterly worth it.
It was very little fishing in Bass, probably.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, all right.
I'm just expecting Black Rock City.
It's not that nice.
Well, it's
not that nice.
Bassett's visually maybe.
Yeah.
But it's definitely
Deathfield, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the visual kind of inspiration for the city kind of hits elements of Mad Max mixed with like my favorite parts of Batuu and Galaxy's Edge.
I was gonna say a little Battle Angel.
Yeah. Very much this broken city that is built from the pieces that have shattered multiple times and the people that go through there and this kind of lawless but unspoken rules type of a society that's it's gonna be fun.
Escape to LA if like we were gonna into the Kurt Russell verse.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Carry that with me into the next game.
It's kinda wild when they thought we were gonna stand out there. You're like, oh
yeah.
Okay. That says a lot already. And we wasted no time.
Theater troops passing through. Huh?
Yep. Clearly, they have no money.
And to that point, because we've only really gotten there for half an episode, so we're just kind of getting involved, but you did meet a new friend. Dusk. Erica's character.
Dusk.
What are you guys' first impressions?
She teleported to the top of a roof.
She's not broken enough to be a local, which is really, I'm kind of curious to see what ends up. What that whole story is about, but
mostly just questions. I mean, we really just ran into her.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then, like, got into it.
Now you're heading over to A Taste of Tal'Dorei to go to know each other.
Oh, going to Planet Hollywood, baby.
Yeah. Dread and excitement intertwined.
I love that I have like the description of this place, and nobody else other than Sam has seen the description of this place.
Yeah,
so no one else knows just how insane this is going
to
be.
Only the characters that are from the city get to know the information.
We're going to Taste of Tal'Dorei. Oh wow!
Wait, so did you leave Bossaros by choice, or were you forced out?
I left by choice.
So you say.
I left by choice. Okay. It's not a town where you like it. You can piss people off and have to leave, but like. You know, it's kind of a good town for people who piss people off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, to that point, it has very much a, like, East Jesus, Slab City vibe.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, the people that get exiled from other major cities or break too many laws and rules in other places, this is where you go where you'll be fine.
Yeah,
and you can find work.
And if they really don't like you, you'll just vanish one day. They won't even. You'll just vanish.
Yeah.
Something will happen.
Oh.
Quietly in the night.
Concrete shoes.
little dead Woody,
kind of.
Sure, yeah. A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
On a larger scale.
You'll learn more about it as you go.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a good time.
And some That's powerful people time. Already.
Yeah. Well, it's like you know how you go to places in the world where you're like, wow, like what went wrong here? This is a place where nothing has ever gone right. So
yeah.
Like, it's never about what went wrong. It's like why hasn't anything gone right?
Yeah, there's a big throwdown in the street and everybody just like watched and then it was over and they.
Probably slightly disappointed that it wasn't bloodier. Yeah.
Yeah. Picked up anything that of worth that was left behind and went about the rest of their day. It's fine. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Plus, there's like people around here. There's all sorts of folks in the woods and surrounding areas. I'm sure we'll all make out of this.
Probably safer to sleep out there. God only knows.
That's true.
I will also say, based on the travel that you've made in this campaign, other campaigns, and looking at this menu of fine topics to discuss. What would you say is your favorite form of fantasy or fictional travel?
Oh
man,
shit.
I do love the ship. I'm loving the skyship.
Now, fictional, regardless if it's fantasy, it could be any sort of genre. What is your favorite form of like fictional travel?
Anything.
Ooh.
Mm.
I love a good teleport an apparating disapparating.
You know?
And just the way that it's portrayed.
I'm a Nemo kid. I love a submarine. I love me a fantasy submarine, which is interesting because you know my issues. But actually as part of it is like that, like deep underwater freaks me the fuck out.
I know.
I love the idea that, you know.
So is Abyss, the movie Abyss?
I really dig the Abyss, or like even like 20,000 Leagues, the old Disney one with that Nautilus that looks like, you know, like, you know.
Buck Rogers rocket.
Steampunk fever dream.
Yeah.
Two things come to mind. One is Blaine the Monorail in the Dark Tower series.
It's
a long fallen futuristic civilization. It's fallen. And in this one area, they find a monorail above, but the monorail is sentient and twisted, and it's a scary ride on the inside. So I'd like to be terrified inside Blaine. But the other thing I'm thinking of is those big, long-legged insect creatures in the Dark Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Landstriders.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Which is really some guy in stilts doing this, but...
They got these cute little bunny faces that like are like super adorable and then like horrifying beneath, and I love the combination of it.
Yeah, those things are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Damn. Now I'm really trying to.
We've ruined everything, haven't we?
No. Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
Fighter jet is your.
Yeah, you like to fly. By
me pinwheel.
Beanie
pinwheel. Beanie pinwheel. Oh god.
And away.
That is transportation.
No.
With enough wind, I would say fan boats. Because they can't be real.
Oh, yeah, that's just weird.
Fan boat?
I grew up in Florida. I know they're real, but they shouldn't be.
Like Zartan and the Dreadnought?
Zartan's fan boat.
Oh, no. Oh, the
that's
best,
what we need.
Worst G.I.
We need some more fantasy fan boats. I'm going to have someone build that now in the next swamp you guys go to. You're going to have to go ahead and forward your Exandrian fan boat adventure.
like a crystal behind the fan. I don't even know.
Yeah, just a trapped air elemental. They just like prod. It's like, fine.
Do we know anybody?
It's a little magic circle that has points, and there's just an air elemental stuck in like a centrifuge.
<That's horrible. laughs>
Free him.
Do we know anybody that's been on a fan boat trip, tour?
I have when I was very young.
You were?
I grew up in Florida, man. It's not amazing.
No,
it's scary and loud.
Yeah, don't they give you
Florida,
like,
please?
I know.
Don't they give you cans? They give you like earmuffs, right?
They probably should have.
Oh no!
It's in kindergarten. It explains a lot of damage now. When you think
you were in kindergarten.
Yeah. Oh no!
Just like going on a 2-hour ride with a lawnmower, right?
Yeah, kind of. Florida. Sorry, anybody lives in Florida for many many reasons. Oh. Man. Anyway,
yeah.
I think those are nice round of the what the fuck is up with that topics.
Yeah. Nice.
The fuck.
Which is awesome. So now it's time for a mandatory pull of a question from the Tower of Inquiry.
Inquiry.
One of us must pull a block from the Tower
of Inquiry.
And they read the number, and then he tells us the corresponding question and who asked it. And if the Tower of Inquiry falls, they will be dire. Consequences for the one who ruins it. It will actually kill your character.
No, wait, whoa.
Again, all right.
Yeah. It's bound to happen soon. No, horrible, embarrassing consequences instead. And so with that in mind, Liam, why don't you go pull a block?
Yes, yeah. I did. I did so well with the game at your house.
Yep.
That was fun to watch. That was a lot of fun to watch. It's not the first time this week this has happened.
Okay. Be very quiet.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
I'm just going to lean back a little because I'm nervous.
Way back. Okay, so we're saying one. It's a good thing this is glued together because it holds
still
over
so
the
sticky.
Weeks and months.
Is it still sticky?
It's still sticky.
Lessons learned.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh!
Stalling turn!
I love it. It builds up the tension. Nope.
What's up, baby?
I'm so nervous for you.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Zex. Number six.
What? Oh.
Yeah, I was like, excuse you?
Here? Now?
Oh, I put it at the top right.
You know how to play Jenga.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yes. I've seen you do it.
Not well.
Nope.
Number six. If your character was a part of the modern day era, what job would they have, or what job would they like to have? Like a teacher, a doctor, a YouTuber.
That's a fun question.
Wolf Girl Stewart at Twitter.
Thank you, Wolf Girl Stewart. Mm.
Wolf Girl Stewart.
That's for all. Right.
For all.
For all.
Oh gosh.
A modern day occupation.
Yes.
Oh geez.
Well, I think that Orm would either be in the New York Ballet in Swan Lake, or he might be like a coach for track and field, or an athlete himself in the Olympics.
I like that.
But I think I'd go ballet.
Water, synchronized swimming. Synchronized swimming is always an option.
Only if Ashton came with him.
Well, that's made of rock, probably sink. Mm. Don't think it would go well.
I think Chetney would be a woodworker, because that's the normal occupation.
Okay.
Or like a dentist. But like,
wow,
would really enjoy it. Probably like Dan Aykroyd, Little Shop of Horrors.
Steve Martin.
I'm Steve Martin. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, just. You'll need a dad.
A singing dentist.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they all gotta go.
Uh-huh.
One at a time.
His wood cavity's giving me a problem.
Sorry, the whole backside has to go. Oh, I slipped! I need suction!
Oh, my God.
I'm just gonna put my knee on your chest.
Jesus, that face.
Yeah.
What about Ashton?
I mean, that's pretty easy, because, like, I will say, like, the most... most like punk ass asshole I knew growing up in high school had the same job that like Henry Rollins had before he like went to be in a band, which is he would work in an ice cream parlor. That's really like he would just serve ice cream. It would be like just fucking like stone cold, whatever, you know.
Creamy.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it and have no customer service whatsoever. But that's like the best shit job for a punker that I can think of.
Snotty little kids.
I dig that.
Out of their crying.
It's just like, yeah.
You can steal some off the end of your shift.
Yeah. Yeah, and just,
the kids you like, you just kind of give them some scoops. Once
making up stories.
If you don't like them, you lick the ice cream before you give it to them.
Perfect. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Well, that's maybe occasionally.
Who's going to believe you, kid? Yeah. Go cry.
I don't really have a character.
Don't you, though?
What's an NPC that you think would be a good choice to answer this question for?
Well, Esteros.
Esteros is a good one for this.
Yeah, actually, Esteros.
Oh. Esteros would be, he'd be like a mysterious VC.
A venture capitalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd be like the kind of guy that would show up, you know, at like some coffee shop somewhere outside of a pub to like some young upstarts out of college that are trying to put together their startup, and he'd be like,
so, are you into crypto?
Yeah. No, that ruins the character.
Ooh, yeah.
That ruins the character.
He lost me there.
Have you heard of this thing called the internet?
Oh my goodness! No.
He'd
venture capitalist is pretty.
Venture capitalist, I think, would work for him. He definitely just looking for things to invest in and bring up.
I could do my own Cold Stone ice cream. Now I'm thinking about it. I could just freeze up and just.
Oh my god! You would be your own Cold Stone creamery.
About the Shade Mother? What was she doing in today's society?
Yeah.
She'd be in season four of of Stranger Things.
Okay.
Character actor.
So character actor. She and Alex Ward just like hanging out backstage, you know, getting pissed when they steal each other's roles.
What's up, Spooky? That makes it.
Spooky boy. That's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we pull another one, or should we move on into another section? Okay. I think we should pull another one. But thank you, Wolf Girl Stewart. For
all
your question.
Names there, yeah.
Yeah.
I got another thing. No, look at that.
Make Travis suffer.
Travis, pull one.
I really have to go?
Yes.
Yeah, he said so.
Suffer.
Oh, no.
Dad said so. You gotta do it.
No good ones.
I'm dad today. Listen to me. You have to do what I say.
Oh, it really does look like a propeller.
Oh, boy.
Don't say that.
This is my greatest day.
Wow, Liam.
Dude, I don't even.
Tip tap tip tap.
It's moving.
No, it's loose-ish. There you go.
Okay. Look at that. Like an expert woodworker.
Oh, it's good to like jerk it.
Oh, it's too late now.
Concern.
You're committed.
Maybe
concern.
Send it back and maybe you gotta. Yeah. Uh huh.
Tiny vibrations. Oh God. Oh Jesus. Don't
I don't think we were meant to see this.
Hold your breath and.
Hey. Good job, buddy.
Oh. 20.
Really?
Do you need a second?
I do.
Okay.
Fuck.
Well done. I'm
do I stand here?
You, only if
Travis.
You want to.
Dad is proud.
What would your character's Twitter bio look like?
from at Trash with a Name on Instagram.
Oh, man. Trash with a Name, thank you. What's your character's Twitter bio?
Twitter bio.
Say.
Oh, man. That's hard. Yeah, other than
it wouldn't have his real name. It would be Seapoc.
Would it just be an egg?
Seapoc.
Yeah, it would be a clever handle. Seapoc Industries.
It'd be an anime character.
Yeah, anime character. Anime character. Mm-hmm. Nothing but obnoxious political retweets. I might just say that in the bio. Nothing but obnoxious
that works
political
out.
Retweets.
I would say,
and bands you've never heard of.
I'd say he, him, no instant gratification. 18 plus. What other?
I'm going to link to your Etsy page. Yeah.
That did it. That did it.
Yeah. That was it.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, you'd be blocked so fast.
Oh, no. You'd be fucking terrible.
Yeah, I'd have a SoundCloud. I feel like you'd have a Tumblr, or I don't know if that's a thing anymore.
No, Tumblr's been a refuge. Thing. God, since the dark days of Musk.
It would be a lot of like workout routine stuff.
That's a name.
It would say pie is better than cake.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, that's fucking
which is true.
It's true.
That's true. I'm sorry for everyone who disagrees and is wrong, but it's true.
I'm so sorry. I put the wrong handle. It was actually from Scarfulu on Twitter.
Scarfulu.
But we love you too, Trash with a Name. So
Trash
sorry.
The name. We'll get to your question, both of you. Scarfulu, you're great, and thank you for the question.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What else? Continue answering the question we chose.
That one.
I want a shitty SoundCloud. I feel like that would also be.
You'd have a shitty SoundCloud.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Does that go on a bio?
Sometimes you put the link in your bio, or you put the link if something blows up. But I would never actually tweet anything interesting.
Pinned it or something.
Mine might have like a link to a YouTube channel of just like different workouts, probably.
I could see that. That's good.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna do social media at some point.
Like a fitness guru on. Mm-hmm. Online. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you could be a nutritionist trainer, celebrity trainer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. You'd make some like good vegetarian, high protein stuff.
You know what I think it would be? It would be your Twitter would mostly just steer people over to your Instagram, which would have all the videos of you like training in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halfling your way to health.
Yeah. Halfling your way to
health. Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I don't like it. This is awful. Like
it. Coin it.
Boy, I wish I was as shredded as Aurum. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Who's got the time?
Not us.
You just start with a big arm sleeve first. Just one thing at a time.
Just one arm? Yeah. Just work on one? Oh, tattoos.
Sleeve, yeah.
I meant.
You know that when you get a full sleeve, it instantly makes you more buff.
Does it?
I think so.
Okay, I guess I got to
do it. I mean, look
at
Robbie Dave.
Yeah,
he's got
that's
both
true.
And he's hot.
Mm. Yeah, but he was.
And he doesn't work out at all.
He hiked a mountain the other day.
It's endlessly hiking.
Just because you put it on the internet doesn't mean you actually did it.
That's true.
He had himself flown in.
He was covered in sunscreen. He's like, the snow, once you get above 26,000 feet, makes it difficult. Here are my shoe chains. I was like, where the fuck
man,
is
man, there's
Robbie?
A shop in the mall where they'll photograph you in anything you want.
Hold on, let me get my glycerin spray. Oh my God. We made it to the top.
Glycerin sweat?
I call
I'm not
bullshit.
Engaging in this conversation.
This is for you, Robbie, you piece of shit. Stop summoning stuff.
Stop being
making
so
us feel
fit
bad.
And hot. Mm. It makes us feel
with
bad.
With your kids.
No, it doesn't. It makes us thirsty. Okay, yeah. No, that was good. What NPC should we pick?
Oh, good question.
What about the ship
captain?
Oh, Xander.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Oh, they would have all pronouns at the top, all caps.
infinite pronouns.
Infinite pronouns.
Yeah.
Free spirit, seen the world, we'll do it all again.
That voice, I can't.
With the punctuation, too. Yeah. We'll do it all again.
Link tree to my OnlyFans. But it's mostly
can't,
them
you
just
can't say
food.
OnlyFans. I was about to say, you can't say that on Twitter.
What about our museum curator?
Oh, yes. How would we know?
Oh, Heitroga?
Yeah.
Evan Heitroga.
Got a TikTok.
No, his would be
No, his would be like the quintessential boomer Twitter where it's like not quite done right. It's just like a picture of him from like high school, and there's like way too much text, and he signs it at the end of it, and all of his tweets signs. They're like poorly filtered photos that have like been scanned in, but not like cropped properly. You can see the white on the outside. Like, yeah, it's real bad.
Ow.
Guys, some of them are all caps.
This is links to his GeoCities page.
This is the deepest lore.
I mean, this is good, you guys. This is good. We really should do this as like a marketing outreach. This is what we need.
It's a good character exercise in general.
Actually, yeah.
Like, just what would your character social media page look
playlist
like?
Playlist out.
Yeah. Fuck you, playlist. I love this plan.
Selena Gomez. Bye bye.
Exactly.
Still keeping their MySpace page alive.
I mean,
is that up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is?
Tom's like the one dude that made it out okay in the end.
Nice. MySpace.
He's out there seeing the world. Okay. Tom, wherever you are, thank you. We're still friends.
Doing the work. Yeah.
The drama of who was in your top
8 in my heart.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You need to pull it out, too.
About that. Oh, my God.
Oh, is it time
you made
to
a move.
Out?
It was like a thing.
Yeah.
How do I go last?
I really fucked with the stability of the overall
Clearly.
Thing. So I'm sorry.
That's okay. Danny, harass him.
Oh, you're weird. You're not, though, but I'm not weird.
That was great.
You're weird, but you're not. You're really
she
cool.
Said,
you're really wonderful, and I love you.
I love
you're
you.
Weird, she said.
I apologize.
You've been around for 1,000 years. So. Oh!
It scared me.
That was forceful and authoritative.
You, 25.
25,
that
okay.
Way it goes on the top.
Are you going to throw it?
Don't mess
so
it up.
I'm scared right now.
Oh. Talison.
Next person well done.
That was Lord of Darkness.
If your character was a candle, what scent would they be?
Lord.
From Amy von Leeuwen. Amy von Leeuwen from Australia.
Thank you, Amy von Leeuwen. Unique question.
Oh, man.
I got nothing but bad suggestion.
I mean, there's some good, I mean, like, what I can.
The scent of rusted pennies, the scent of birch, pine, oak. Cherry.
I mean, some of those are real candle scents right said, there. Yeah.
Rusted pennies, I don't know if that
No, not that I found, unless it's, bad candle. There's probably a bad candle.
I'm sure there's a shitty smelly candle.
Specifically intentionally.
Subsidiary of Bad Dragon.
Yeah. Oh, bad wow. Candle. Bad candle.
No.
Awesome.
No.
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 I hate you.
No, don't take it and run. Put it down. Drop it.
You can homebrew anything, okay?
Magic of RPGs.
I was going to say sandalwood is definitely in the, but yeah, like any of the plant ones.
Sandalwood.
I feel like again, like such basic, Nag Champa, if they like make a candle that just is like overpowering in that direction.
Don't know what that is.
Nag Champa, that's like the OG, well, yeah, I should say college incense.
That is the college incense of the 1990s.
Every head shop at every college, you're like,
yeah, it's in a little blue
incense.
Box, and it's like.
I probably smelt it and just didn't know what it was.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, it is the incense smell of someone who knows nothing. Like, it's the Budweiser of incense.
They sell.
I mean to it because I love it. I do love it.
Yeah, they sell a starter kit at a head shop, and it's like a pair of bongo drums, Nag Champa, like your own little
hacky sack.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay.
It's a hacky sack of.
It's a hacky.
Let's be real.
Yeah, I feel bad because I really like the smell of it quite a bit.
I own some Nag Champa.
It's good to really love it. It's a good choice.
I thought it was real pretty.
I don't know what it would have actually be. How would you mix sweat and cherry blossoms? What would encapsulate that? I don't know.
Sweat.
We could just say cherry blossom.
I mean, cherry blossoms are really.
It has to be sweaty.
I kind of want cherry blossom
with a little salt in it.
Yeah.
A sea breeze cherry blossom.
Smell like the beach.
Oh.
Beach and spring.
That was inspired.
Thanks. I dug real deep. That's all I got. I'm useless for the rest of the day.
Well, I'm glad we got that out. Thank you.
Wow.
From Australia?
Hey!
Next question?
Wait. I want to know what Eshteroth smells like, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I get to it.
Super curious about what he smells like.
I mean,
he'd be.
He's a musky bastard.
Yeah.
He's got like Sex Panther.
Uh huh.
Where it stings the nostrils.
Yep.
60% of the time, it works every time.
When you put it on, it stings like fuck.
Oh, yeah.
You have to yell.
This is where my knowledge of the diverse plethora of incense types and names does not come to my aid because I have none. I could like be like the one that one time that Marcia lit when we were on vacation.
Does Marcia have a shitload of incense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We pick them up whenever we're out and about, but I never remember what the traps, what they're called.
So you probably just smell nice things at the house, but you don't know what they are.
Yes.
You could throw two words together and probably name a couple accidentally.
Sure. Yeah. You know what?
Pumpkin pie candle is like immediately where I would go with that.
Oh,
those smell really good.
I will say kind of like a ginger spice, from the baker aspects of them, probably, because those scents do carry on him from his baking time.
God, pine is nice.
Beyond that, I would say like a musky cedar for the inside of his dark, his study where he trains as well. Like, that would make sense, I think.
The book leather.
I was a real simple bitch in college, and so I would buy like vanilla cinnamon candles for my apartment. Thought I was so cultured. But just only vanilla cinnamon over and over and over. I think I also got one of those little like rock fountains.
You start having like sense memory when you walk into a Bed Bath & Beyond. You're just like, whoa.
I don't know what feels worse, the fact that it's true or the fact that I can utterly see it right now. Uh-huh. I feel bad by how well I can see it.
Listen, guys. Culture happens one step at a time sometimes. You take it where you can get it.
Dang right.
Fuck!
We're measuring your progress in decades, Travis.
Okay, Mav. It's okay.
And if you have a quick and dirty evergreen question for our slightly less sticky Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at quitroll.com/tower.
Oh, boy.
Damn.
And now I think you move into the next segment.
We have another
of our the next phase of our four-sided dive, the deep dive. Now, we're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankards, and since I'm the tavern keeper, I'll be kicking this one off. Danny, what's on the menu for today?
Yeah, Danny!
Hey, Danny!
Danny Carr!
It's tankards, and they have questions in them.
Tankards! Thank you, Danny.
Oh, look, I beat the fucking...
Thanks, guys.
That's
me.
Look at that. Perfect.
Stare at it for a second. I'm like, what am I holding?
Ten. Don't look at it.
Tankards away. Oh, yours.
All right.
Yours kind of has that like
Holy Grail from Indiana.
That's exactly.
Yes. That was top of a carpenter. I was just trying to get there.
That was exactly.
Damn.
The thing I asked for.
I can see what's going on in your mind.
I'm glad you guys picked that one.
Wisely.
Yay! I'm glad people picked up on that. That makes me happy.
What happens now?
we all take turns pulling one by one the questions and then answering it. So we'll just go start clockwise with you, Liam. Why not?
Me.
Real clockwise this time.
Yes.
Okay. It's an actual one.
Okay, listen.
Yeah. Okay, I got one.
Bizarro clock.
What you got?
Vax was closely connected to the Clasp in Campaign 1. What is it like to see Clasp connections pop up with Spiraling Shen and Jenna Hexam all the way in Marquette? I mean, not specific just to that thread, but I can't really fathom, Maddie, how all the little lines, little golden threads going back to Campaign 1 and even to the home game that have run all the way up to here in everything we do. So, I mean, of course, fucking... dope seeing Spiraling Shen, who's someone we've been talking about for a long time, suddenly pop up like a gopher. But I love it. I love, with everything we do, it just feels like the tapestry gets a little richer and grows, and but it's all connected to each other.
Plus, I think we get a little bit more about like the Spiralings, because I remember them from Campaign 1. I remember they were in the beginning of the very first comic book issue. And then other than that, like, I'm still a little bit in the dark on how that whole structure works. I think me and Sam both. Sam was like, hey, what's up, Spiraling, what? Yeah. So it's...
Each major city that has clasp involvement everyone has to get the clap, they have to have the clasp committing.
Part of the induction.
Exactly, yeah. The druids usually help, but since the Ashari absconded, they gotta work with whoever they can get. The Spiralings are essentially the collection of leaders that maintain and organize those different sects of the Clasp, wherever they are.
Nice.
And we've seen quite a few of them through the adventures as the years go on.
Mm-hmm.
But Shen has definitely been one of the power players in Amon for quite some time.
Mm. I mean, I knew that. I'm glad everybody else knows that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're popping up in the comic books, and they popped up in
comic. I will say my dream, since I was very young and started playing these games, was to have a campaign or a series of campaigns that went long enough that I could begin to like connect threads and have elements of the world continue to feed into each other to feel real and breathing and like the fact that we're now going into campaign 3 and I get to do more of this is like the most fun I'm having. And yeah, so anyway,
I just wish it showed. I'm so fucking miserable.
Maybe put some of that enthusiasm in your actual GM.
I'm sorry.
Can't all be Bradley Mulligan, okay? Jesus.
No, I love it. I mean, I even love just in my own small little way in putting together Aurum and taking what Matt and Marisha made with Zephyr and everything is just taking the knitting needles and going like, oh, I'm just going to knit a little line of warriors that live there too. They're just in the corner. It's not the overall end all and be all of that society, but they're there now and I've woven them in to everybody that existed before. And I love this collaboration. That's this years long collaboration.
Makes me so happy.
Best.
It's like self-sustaining too, right? Like that's the best part is you can add to it and then it like creates another wrinkle and then another wrinkle and another ripple, another ripple.
Every character backstory I get whenever anyone makes a new character for a campaign or to replace a character that dies.
Wow.
Like it's another cool facet and opportunity for you guys to pass the ball to me and then to me eventually the story pass it back to you and I love this collaboration so much.
That's what was so great about having Robbie come in, because it had so much attached to it. And so, like, when Erica's character comes in, she's like, Dusk, and jumps to her roof, she's got a sword, and you're like, okay, but gimme. Like, who are you, and what do you know? Hand it over. Like, all right, we'll RP it next time. But who are you? I just want it now.
Mm-hmm. You just got to finish up Calamity shit first, and then we'll get back to it.
We're gonna win.
So
don't
much.
Worry. We're gonna win.
Yeah, you guys are gonna stop the calamity.
That Kobayashi is gonna be just fine.
Yep. I'm gonna show it my Maru.
Everybody in this building is really randy about calamity right now.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so good. Oh God, all of you doing so well. Yeah, Britain's doing so good.
Ugh. I did not respect the calamity like enough. I just don't think I understood it. Well, I think it was just. Just vague or just removed enough from history to not give it the credence that it deserved. And being able to see it through this lens, it's so telling because you understand what happened, but you understand also what was normal in that time. And that has all just been erased, gone from history. Like that, the entire understanding is just...
I'm trying to how many years ago was the Calamity at this point?
The Calamity is well over 1,000 years.
Okay, it's about 1,000.
And the Calamity was a period of time. Yeah. Like it wasn't like a major battle. It was a series of things. So like it's the equivalent of us going into history class and learning about the Crusades or learning about
Hall
of Troy. Like things that are practically mythological to this point. So unless you're a very deeply invested historian, you kind of have a passing knowledge. Oh, yeah, that happened a while back. That's kind of wild. And even those that are historians are still scrapping together information because based on who survived, who wrote the books, and who wanted what elements of the Calamity to be remembered.
Yeah.
Because
Victor's writing things for them.
Exactly.
It's like the Quantum Leap version of history class where you actually are in it. It's not what people know or what was said or what was written down. It's like, it's fucking happening.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, what do I fix?
Yeah.
It's everything that we were crawling through in Aeor and then suddenly rapid fire rewind.
Yes. Yes. It's so hard turning that part of your brain on too, because you're like, I don't know anything.
And that'll get a little like inside baseball here, but like I've wanted to have something happen in that era, the Age of Arcanum Calamity, for a long time. And it wasn't until we were talking with Brendan about like possibly running something, a while back, and we were talking about different things and mentioning the Age of Arcanum Calamity, and he just went like, "We'll talk about that one." And then he's just kind of continued to create this amazing thing. We've been, collaborating here and there on like lore stuff and building it out together. But this is, I take no credit, beyond just like helping build lore and keep everything in line and giving ideas and stuff like that. But he's just running with it and doing such a good job. From like Abria and him, just other great examples of other ways to play the game and how to run it, how to tell stories with your players. And I'm just so excited that this is happening.
Fucking wizards.
Fucking wizards.
New storytellers. Mm. Storytelling wizards. Oh, God.
I'm so proud.
Dude, it's...
Anyway. Mm. Clockwise.
Oh.
They're all the same. It doesn't matter. Here we go.
Not that they're all the same. It just doesn't matter.
How is Ashton feeling about returning to Bosrus and the prospect of finding the nobodies? Well, I don't necessarily think they're there, first of all. Maybe somebody went back, but like they could be anywhere. I certainly don't know if I would want to go back if I'd gotten out. This is not where I'd be going if it weren't for you fuckers.
Sorry.
Not sorry.
Yeah.
not really a person who likes to look back or ever like deal with things that were in the past or really touch any of that because it's uncomfortable and the future is always there already. So this is not.
What kind of terms did you leave on with them? I mean, everything went bad. They put you back together.
I haven't seen them since.
So like that night, bunch of hazy ass memories, mm-hmm. and then everybody was just out.
Yeah. Everybody but Milo just booked out,
the worst bank heist gone wrong.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
just dumped you.
Oh, that's primed for.
I just assumed that they scattered to the four winds. That like no, like I don't know, but that's what I would have done is just scatter into the four winds.
And we saw flashes. We saw some flashes of their faces. Yeah. Right? So it wasn't like they just left you for dead. Like,
no, they got me
they
out
were
of
there, and then you were out.
Yeah, they were, but they knew that can't stay in town. I couldn't get out anyway, so yeah, that will be a conversation that happens.
Were you close with anybody in the nobodies?
All of them. Allison?
No, I mean like close. Like close.
All of them. No. Ashton, I can't speak to, but me, yes.
Okay.
No, and like it's going to be interesting because there's going to be some terrible, there's some like really irritating history there. But also, I said this earlier. It's like it is like going to your hometown with your friends. Where you're like, this place is shit. Oh, this bar is amazing. So there's a bit of that, like, this is a shit bar, I gotta take you. And yeah,
which also has like a 10% chance of maybe you'll find somebody in that place.
Somebody, there's definitely some people around who probably, it's a hard face to forget, so. Yeah, and Matt's already looking at me like he's gonna murder me, so that's okay. So, yeah, I have a lot of characters, I like writing characters who don't want to deal with their shit. Like, I really enjoy characters who are not, like, out on a quest. They are just running from shit. Percy was running from shit. Had no interest.
I know,
Molly,
yeah.
No interest in their shit. Like, actively was like, don't know, don't care, fuck off. And, like, yeah.
Cad was the exception that proves the rule, right?
Cad was the exception because he wasn't, like, there was nothing to run from. He was Captain America. There was nothing wrong with him. It was the world that's broken.
We're all shit.
Yeah.
There's nothing to run.
Yeah, you don't have to fix. He was already fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, you know, he's fine.
Oh gosh!
Made him the perfect addition to that part.
Yeah, he was like so. We needed someone who was grounded enough not to have a personal issue. So it worked out well.
I love it.
Hell yeah! Fuck the past. Anyway, you're.
Oh yeah, I should probably pull in. Okay. Question.
There you go.
Oh.
We're heading into Basaris and the Hellcatch Valley now, and experiencing a very different culture from Drusar and Hartmoor. What was it like to create and collaborate on this Lawless Valley? Ooh, yes, this is a great question.
Lawless.
I've had the fantastic opportunity since before even the campaign started to begin collaborating with some amazing people to kind of flesh out the cultures and spaces of Marquette. And both because I don't have a lot of time, and also I want to make sure that everything is done with respect and that people can actually create and speak from their own cultural backgrounds too. And so for the Hellcatch Valley in particular. The wonderful Bashir Gauss has been helping right with this. And the collaboration process for me has been, I outlined essentially the continent's main regions. And certain ones I definitely kind of, like Drusar and, elements of the Odiran Wilds are primarily my creations and then go through, consulting and stuff like that. But other regions that I basically laid out on the table and spoke to each of these collaborators and went, which one speaks to you? Which one do you want to go ahead and run with? And Bashir specifically was like Hellcatch Valley. That's right up my alley. So,
damn.
And so from there, it was me then having multiple meetings with them and talking about this is kind of the vibe I want for it. This is how it sits between the other regions and how it connects and kind of interacts with the other cultures nearby. Here's some of the history to the space and kind of the general biomes and geography of it. But beyond that, what inspires you? Go. And so like Basaris was the one city there that I really kind of, because it was based on your backstory, that I had a lot of kind of strong feelings for, but after that it was just letting him go. And then you come back and with all these cool areas and spaces and ideas, and we do notes back and forth and then have meetings and kind of talk about what things you wanted to develop more, what things need to be tweaked a little bit, begin to connect some of the other collaborators and writers to make sure that areas where their regions kind of intersected and stuff, we all were on the same page for, and that was kind of the process. And as we began to kind of bring together, didn't have a lot of major notes because Bashir is super talented and is an amazing creator and writer. And he's very excited to see you guys getting to explore some of the spaces that we've created together. And
It's going to be fun.
So if we find ourselves in mortal danger, we're not just cursing your name, we're Mm-mm. cursing Bashir's name.
Yes.
Okay.
We are both at fault.
I need his number so I can get a text thread where I we can accost him.
Will protect him. Because he is wonderful and should be protected.
I'm excited for the greater exploration because it's that moment where, you know, you spend the early part of a campaign usually in one place and then you start to branch out, and it feels, especially with an airship, just feels like any direction, limitless. So I can't wait to dig in. Because we just got there.
That's the worst and best part about getting a new map is that, especially after like the ruins of Aeor, when it was like A1, A2, A question mark. Now we look at a map and we're like, what does it say? What are the hidden things? Are there little things in the drawing?
Why'd you draw that? Why is that drawn there?
What does that mean?
Why is there nothing here that doesn't make any sense? Uh-huh. There's never nothing.
Well, it's also, not every map you get is going to have everything on it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's only going to have
the time of drawing.
Yep, or whatever's important to the person that had the map mission.
It's always different coming into a different topographical area that has inherent, like, repellent barriers around where you're trying to go. You know, like being up in Jorhas was like big spires and everything was deadly and like gravity in the area was weird, but you know, like giant fucking holes in the ground that are like you can see from the sky.
Mm-hmm. Why? I don't know. You should go on one.
Aside from those, the giant worm.
Oh, yeah, the
we're
Destra.
Obviously going to have to try and ride.
you really want to do that, don't you?
Two chisels in its back and ride.
Yeah, so yeah.
100%.
I'm waiting for the moment where we're walking along the ground and we feel a little, and it just starts to go right where we are.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we do like just belly of the whale.
Yeah. I should be glad you guys have a skyship. Just don't fly it too high and don't get caught in a dust storm.
And in what storm?
Dust storm.
It's a storm.
Maybe. I know what it is. I'm just saying.
You were looking very confused.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what it means. Is there like a dust dragon that comes with it? Is there a dust giant that's got wings?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a jetpack.
It'll be fine. I cast Featherfall.
you're just like ziplining down. Where's Orm? Oh God, he's off the boat.
Oh my God. All right,
you're up. Oh, I'm up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dig, dig, dig.
Give us a peek behind the EXU curtain. Tell us about Seret Pinch Agrupnin and what it's been like experiencing the Age of Arcanum. Woo! Yeah. Well, first of all, there were a bunch of people picking magic classes, obviously, because it's the Age of Arcanum, and there's wizards, and there's sorcerers, and there's bards. So I feel like I had to rep a little bit of just that straight melee class. But as we were talking about it, and as Brennan started to give us the basic foundation of what we were going to be covering and how fucking detailed it was, I was like, okay, I want to try and be like an investigator that's trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together, because if everybody is like large captains or key players of the city, there needs to be somebody that's trying to connect the dots that others are missing. And as the story started to take shape and that fucking name came across, Vespin Chloris, I was like, wait, so in the timeline, has this just happened? He's like, yes, very recently. And I'm like, does anybody care? And he's like, you could find out. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to be like, I based him off of John Cusack in Con Air. Wait for it. Because if you remember, John Cusack's like the shitty FBI agent that nobody takes seriously, but he goes into John Malkovich's cell and he starts putting it all together. And he tries to tell everybody, it's going to blow up. Look out for the lunchbox. But they don't look out for the lunchbox. I'm John Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you have him in that white suit then?
Wasn't it like a white, like, linen suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There are only some things you just can't do. And then outside of that, like, Seret is, he's a bird person. He's an Ice Fura. So I have always thought they were fucking really, really cool, along with cat folk, even though I'm allergic to them. So I thought it was a great excuse to do that and play a rogue, because it's a plus to dex racial bonus, right?
Yeah.
So that mixed with making an Inquisitor rogue. Holy shit, the stuff you get as a rogue is crazy.
Yeah.
Like his perception, investigation, insight, and I think stealth. Like you can't roll below a 10, for proficiency.
Yeah, whatever you choose, you cannot fail.
Minimum 23 on most things. It's nuts. Like, I rolled a 31 or 2 in my first roll. I was like, my God! Now, if a fight breaks out, I can only hit you once. Bip! But, you know, the rest of it is all built to be like, uncanny dodge, this reaction.
Or you can drop somebody with one toss.
That's true. That's true. This, you're talking about sneak attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, what you did, what happened.
There's a bonus action. You, I don't know if you know this.
No. Go on.
Called insightful fighting, where you can roll to beat someone's deception check, and then you just get sneak attacking.
Yeah, regardless.
Yeah, I was like, that's so fucking cool. Nasty. But I mean, the bonus. Anyway, it's cool. My guy's fun. And during the character creation stage, I joked for 5 seconds that he would be like a gumshoe. Like, nah, the dirty rats in the city, torn down on the side. I was like, just kidding. And they're like, you coward! Do it! Do it! Bria bullied me into it. I was like, all right, fine, let's do it.
Hell yeah.
But it's been amazing. Cagney.
Watching the episodes, there are 2 full wizards, and there's you doing fucking rogue shit. I am just heart eyes the whole time, going like,
yeah.
I'm watching you in Calamity, and I'm like, well, I just got to do a rogue again. I got to do a rogue again, going back to the well.
You know, the most brilliant thing about it is that you could tell me what the premise of the story could be. You could write it down and I could read it. It would not have the same delivery and absorption as, this probably goes without saying, as playing it. Because we have all the facts as they were known in front of us. We have all of the clues as they're available to us, and we're still getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not putting it together. We're like, I'm doing my fucking best, and it's still like slipping through our fingers, and it's happening real fucking time. That and betrayal and selfishness.
I love it.
Yeah, it has that feeling of like of 2 shipmen looking out in the night in the sea, going, "Is that? That kind of looks like an iceberg. That can't be right."
It's planet Venus.
Let me check my notes.
It's planet Venus.
It's like you're figuring it out, but just not fast enough.
I love it. I love it so much. Inquisitive Rogue is my favorite type of rogue too. I'm happy to see one played at that level because like it's exactly what it's about. It is the best build to be a skeptic and a seeker of truth.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what lawful good feels like, how he's supposed to be, like a bastion of moral principle. You know, upstanding code in a city that's just amuck with ambition and power, but man.
Yeah, I envision the Cobalt Soul actually trains up a lot of inquisitive rogues, if we're looking at like the class implementation there.
Are the Spiralings the dark mirror of that?
In a way, you could say. Ooh. They're more the masterminds. And inquisitives as well, for the other purposes of protecting their own shit. I will also say, before we finish up talking on the Calamity too, also a big shout out to our amazing Danny Carr, who's been helping as our lore keeper to help
Danny Carr
as well and keep things going well.
I make a run over. Danny Carr!
You're amazing.
Nice lore keeper! Yeah!
I don't know why I'm curtsying behind a bar. That's just silly.
Okay.
Danny, you're invaluable. You have golden threads in everything
you.
We do.
Mm.
Thanks, man. I love you guys too.
Do we have time to do one more lightning round?
Sure, fast.
Let's do it. Make them quick.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Vomiting stuff.
How has it been bonding with Chetney? Orym told him about his tattoos and gave him the alarm horn, but also saw his tense interaction with the woodworker, Zadro. What does he think of his lichen friend? Yeah, I mean, I think he was rightly super skeptical of Chetney first blush, but oddly finds himself really getting along with him. What do I want to say, too? I also feel like...
You love me.
Chetney... Getting there. Chetney kind of feels like a casual grandpa slot for him. And that's fun to be around. That's, like, comforting to be around. There's some issues. We got to work through some things. You might have some anger issues.
Huh?
But,
What?
But Pop's got a good heart in there.
Pop.
Yeah.
Oh. Just needs his fiber.
And you know, I'll say this too, like Orym is, compared to a lot of this group and compared to my other, to Vax certainly, is reserved and respectful. And just like, he's not there to be like, well, let me burden you with all my shit. So he's just carrying it around. And he's fine. He's dealing with his own personal stuff. And Chetney's really the only person who's gone poking in.
And he's not, see, Orym's not secretive. He's just not like, listen, man, I gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's accessible. Mm-hmm. That was great. Like, it was great sitting in that treetop and having that combo and it just like coming out and like, to me, no worse person to have that conversation with than Chetney. But it just like took on the best shape because mm-hmm. Chetney really is interested in like the good people being good and the, in his mind, the bad people being bad. And so like he relishes the people that are like virtuous and upstanding and all those things.
A very Eddie Brock of you.
Yes.
That's it. Lightning. You're up, Ash.
Oh, yeah, lightning, sorry.
Shit, fuck, piss. All right. This is what this character has done to me. What was the inspiration behind Ashton as well? This is a big one, as well as the fundamental chaos aspect of your class. To sum this up pretty quick, because we're trying to go fast.
Gotta go fast.
At the end of the last campaign, I was looking at all the subcultures that I grew up around as a kid in L.A. and was like, I hadn't done punk yet. I'd done the kind of the hippie kids. I'd done the goth kids. And I'm like, I guess I did the carny kids. So I guess I got to do punk now. And then I was like, well,
it's great.
I started making a playlist and was like, what the fuck does punk look like in a fantasy realm where they're really like, it's not really as bad over there as it is out here. Like, there's just less to be super angry about. And I was like, hmm.
I don't know about that.
I mean, there's like, but like, there's, yeah, there's, I had to figure it out. I was like, I got to figure this out. So I like, I watched a bunch of Henry Rollins talking about his life. And was like, okay, I think I got a notion of how to do this. And then I went back and this amazing woman, Penelope Spheres, made a couple documentaries in LA about the punk scene in either both the early 80s and the early 90s. And the early 90s was the one with like the kids that I remember seeing on the outskirts. I wasn't a punk, but like I mm-hmm. knew that everyone went to the same parties back then. And so it was like, yeah, you know, I need a little refresher. And one of her movies, I watched everything she made, but the movie that the documentary she made, The Decline of Western Civilization Part 3, which is the most depressing fucking documentary on God's green earth. You will not feel okay. And it's just punk kids in the 90s being interviewed, and they are all, it's horrible. But
damn.
And I just watched this. I watched that, and then with the Henry Rollins stuff, I was like, okay, I think I've got a weird idea. And then, yeah, that was just kind of the build. And for Fundamental Chaos, that was just me wanting to literally just create something terrible and difficult.
Yeah. I remember the conversation. I remember the text. You texted me and went like, the Wild Magic Barbarian sucks.
I wasn't going to say that out loud, but yes.
Now it wasn't cooked right.
As you get bigger, better with it, the less chaos it has. Like, it's like, it's
yeah, why?
It's like,
why would it just gets, that?
And like, I was like, I want to be nuts. I want to be stupid.
Yeah. And you sent me a list of a bunch of ideas. And I went, these are all broken, but let me work with it. Yeah,
they were so broken. There was some
I like
shit,
where you're going with
there
this.
There was some shit that was so broken.
I like where you're going with this.
And you're like, let me
pull it apart and put it back together.
Let me throw some of these pieces together. See yeah. Experiment 2.0.
There was some stuff that was a little insane. Thank you. Thank you for reeling it in.
Oh, it's been so much fun to work on.
Yeah, I spent like a year before I even handed you that. Yeah, or 6 months. Like,
we're seeing some of the fun stuff now, the level 6.
I know. I'm so excited. There's some stupid guns going to come up.
Portal gun.
Yeah, the portal fight.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite shit.
I love the portal fight.
Come up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my vibe.
All right, cool.
You. Reach into the chalice.
I'm going to do it. Okay. That's too many. There's been a lot of fate influence so far in this campaign. What was that brought on by the characters, the cast presented to you, or was that always a theme you planned to play with in Campaign 3? I will say, it was not necessarily a large theme I was planning to pull into the campaign necessarily. Fae. The Fae realm. But between Fern as a character, just having such a fascinating presence of fake chaos and elements of her story, and then some of the characters in the campaign also having some fae touched aspects, like I was like, okay, it's really a vibe we haven't touched on too much aside from like a brief trip to the Feywild in campaign 1, and you know, Artagan being a figure that is present through parts of campaign 2. We haven't really delved into some of the weird fae shit, and so through Fern I just kind of got inspired and started weaving some of that in, and we'll see if any of that continues to come out in the story. And I'm super excited.
I want to go back.
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to
man.
Go back. I want to know where she came from. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know very
I want
much.
All my powers to break when we switch dimensions.
Maybe you'll go there. Maybe you won't. Who knows?
But nothing to work anymore.
One of these holes in the ground goes to the Pharaoh.
You're up.
I was going. I'm jumping first.
One of these answers in the cup goes to the Pharaoh.
What is it like to think of toys for all of the characters? Do you have a creative process for what Chetney makes for everyone? What would Chetney make for the illustrious DM? Oh, that's a good question. It didn't occur to me.
I really thought you were about to like fart on me as you adjusted up.
It didn't really.
That's what he'd make for him. I get it.
Yeah,
it
was side sit pose.
I forget who said it. That was like, you can pay us with toys in one of the first episodes where he was around. And I was like, oh my god, now I have to. What's that?
That might have been Robbie.
Yeah, it was Robbie.
It maybe it was. Yeah.
Sounds like a Robbie vibe.
So now there have been multiple nights where I'll get on and just search wooden and then like a bunch of different words and see what comes up. I have ordered things that require more time than I thought humanly possible. That little fucking ship took hours. Like, I was up till like 3 a.m. really fucking SS broad deck.
But I love that you did that.
Oh yeah,
everything has a Travis.
How you found the time
it.
For that is bloody beyond.
Yeah, there's one. There's a couple coming up that are of the gnarlier variety. What would Jenny make for the illustrious DM? I would make like a wooden like solar system or like a wooden
alignment. Orrery
thing? Orrery, yeah, that one.
Oh, that's cool.
Super simple though, because it would just be a flat plate, right?
Yeah.
100%. And you align all the planets and the little pole just
like, I would love a little orrery that actually had the two moons, so you had the wouldn't that be, that would be dope.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's Travis? Isn't he supposed to be in this Zoom meeting? Cut to Travis asleep at the kitchen table, pressed 7 slats of wood. Sandpaper.
All right.
Good question. That was our question. We did it.
The landing round. And now it's time to pull one more question from the Tower of Inquiry. What number am I thinking between 1 and 10? Go.
You.
5.
That's not a number. I wanted 5, 4.
3. 6.
God, no, shit! I thought I was being
you
safe
guys
going in the middle.
Me. Oh. Between 5 and 6.
I thought I was going to make it out of here without doing this again. I already shook it up.
Now you got to shake it again, boy.
Let's do what I did. Give it a quick slap.
Shake it for a stretch.
No! That's not going to work.
It likes it. Go ahead.
God. Show us how it's done, boy.
I'm sweatless.
I'm also sweating this. Then, I don't even have to do anything.
Then parry.
I already messed up my like one job. I said somebody's username wrong. I'm so sorry.
Tip, tap. Tip.
God, not that one. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Tip, tap, tip. Oh, my God.
Oh,
oh my God.
Are you serious?
Oh!
Go back home.
kind of committed at this point.
I think you might be okay.
Or you
got to
put
okay.
it back. Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh, hold the weight.
Oh.
20?
Wow.
Shame.
Oh my God.
If gold didn't matter, what would be your character's first purchase? From Effie Aaron.
Ooh, thank you, Effie.
Gold somebody doesn't else, matter.
Somebody else to answer.
What do you think?
Man. I think Orm would buy the group a skyship outright.
Oh man, that's ooh. Just buy a skyship.
Yeah,
fuck that shit.
You get all
sleek one.
His sleuthing done faster, and then they could just travel the world and see all the flat plate of Exandria.
Fast one with 5 cannons.
Chetney would
just
make
embrace
a
it, man.
Hostile takeover bid for all of the toy stores, and half of the continents, so that there's still some left to be conquered.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of serious.
I know you are. That's why I respect that.
I believe that. Fuck.
What about you?
I think that Ash would just, like, buy that whole chunk of property that currently that they've been living in the Spires and just buy the whole thing outright just to make sure that everyone had to fuck off.
Okay, the Fonsi Hall.
Yeah, that's ours now. You can piss off. Yeah, just... Yeah, no more problems anywhere.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I know.
That's cool.
Yeah, done.
I dig
big
that.
Line in the sand.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer, everybody. Thank you, Effie Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an evergreen question for us, you can enter your questions for the Tower of Inquiry at gridwall.com/tower. And all right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but stick around because when we come back, we're going to be playing some Exploding Kittens. Be fine. So thank you so much. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Oh, my God, my adrenaline.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive.
In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.
If you're on a GLP-1, you're probably loving the results. You look good. But how do you feel? How about the stomach issues? Loss of muscle mass? Lacking energy? All of those side effects can take a toll. So now what? The answer is GNC. We have solutions that can help address those side effects and make sure you don't get knocked off your path. Because when it comes to living healthy, we're all about it. And that includes keeping you going on your GLP-1 journey. GNC.